The topic of the shiur this morning is not Maseches Brachos, but it's related to Pesach. And for those of you who think that 4 cups of wine is enough to drink, is more than enough to drink on Lel Pesach. So I want to talk actually about a fifth cup of wine this morning. And the notion of a fifth cup of wine would seem very strange to most of us, or certainly any of us who have at one point in our career, either in yeshiva elementary school, I don't know about in the yeshiva world, but I think in the modern Orthodox world, it's pretty common that we teach Arvei Pesachim. The beginning of Arvei Pesachim has nothing to do with Pesach per se, really. Well, most of the material is about Kiddush and Shabbos and Havdalah. But the Mishnah speaks of 4 kosos, and that's what we tend to think of. You could ask your children, your grandchildren, you know, why do we have 4 kosos of wine? They'll all tell you the Medrash that the Rashbam and other Rishonim quote, which is Keneged the Arba Lishonos Shel Geula, V'Hotzeisi V'Yitzalti V'Ga'alti V'Lakachti, forgive the incorrect accents. And that's what everybody knows. So the question is, why would we be talking about a fifth cup? So before we get to the fifth cup, I want to talk just very briefly about 4 cups. But you should be aware that when you learn the 10th parak of Pesachim, when you learn Arvei Pesachim, so 4 kosos is kind of ubiquitous. That's what you talk about. But the Mishnah says the following: Erev Pesachim Samach Lamincha. You shouldn't eat samach lamincha, which is why come this Shabbos, even if you, whatever one would technically be able to, let's just take something non-controversial. Supposing you wanted to have mizonos for Suda Shlishis. So you think hamotzi is going to be very difficult to do, to have for Suda Shlishis, but you want to do mizonos. So you'll eat matzah balls. Matzah balls, are not kosher for mitzvahs matzah, and the matzah balls can be eaten on Erev Pesach. It's not a problem eating matzah on Erev Pesach. So you decide you're going to have matzah balls for Suda Shlishis, even though, okay, you can't do bread, but at least you'll do mizonos. Except for that, if you're going to do that, you have to eat it before the 10th hour begins. That's what this Mishnah states. Erev Pesachim Samlucha, la yochal lemach teshach. Afil oni shebi Yisrael, la yochal ad sheyaseh. Even the poorest person has to do haseba, even though it might not be normally his normal mode. And finally, v'lo yivchasulo me'arba koso shol yayin v'afilu min ha'tamplei. So the Mishnah says that in the plural, probably means the gabay tzedakah have to make sure that the ani has arba koso shol yayin. And even though an ani who would normally never spend that kind of money, someone who's misparnes min ha'tamplei, the tamplei was something which was collected on a daily basis. It was usually actually destroyed. They normally collected food and they distributed to aniyim outside the city. The aniyim of the city generally were given a weekly stipend from the kuppah. They were given a stipend of cash. But even someone who's so poor to be eating from the tamchoi, so you have to make sure he has arba kosos of yayin, or he has to make sure he has arba kosos of yayin, even if he has to sell some of his stuff. So the Mishnah speaks about 4 cups of wine, the mitzvah of arba kosos. As a sort of a mini side issue, but for those who are doing Daf Yomi, well, I hope deeply appreciate this. There is a problem with having arba kosos, which is the problem that's known as zugos. This is not a problem that I think most of us relate to generally. I think it's kind of funny because God made us mostly with zugos. We have 2 hands and 2 feet and 2 eyes and 2 ears. And nonetheless, most of our body parts, not all of them, come in twos. They come, or they certainly are in even numbers. Our fingers, our toes, our teeth. Nonetheless, zugos were a problem. Doing things, certain kinds of things in zugos were a problem, certain kinds of behaviors, for 2 reasons. Number one is that it could get you in trouble with the demons. And number two, it would expose you potentially to have kishuf, sorcery, performed more easily on you. These, to probably anybody who is in shir this morning, are probably things that are not of our greatest concerns. What exactly, the world in which Chazal lived was a very different world, with a different set of assumptions about realia. I would say in the ancient world, and in every world, even the modern world, we always try to explain things in ways that will make sense to us, when we try to make sense of the world. One might almost say that the Shadim and Kishuf were the conspiracy theories of the ancient world. When you have to explain how things work in the world when things don't go right, so the answer is shadim, kishuf. And in the modern day era where those have kind of fallen out of vogue, so instead we come up with conspiracy theories. That's the way we all do it on some level. Some people go a little overboard. Some of us are a little bit more measured in our conspiracy theories. But nonetheless, the Shadim explain the unexplained. So the Gemara says immediately, how could the Chachamim Institute have a four kosos when it could be something that could bring us to sakana? V'hatanya lo yochal adam trei, v'lo yishte trei, v'lo yikaneach trei, v'lo yasat tzrachav trei. A whole series of things, including eating and drinking, which you're not supposed to do in pairs. So you want to have a cup, or you want to have one cup of beer, that's fine. You want to have three cups of beer, that's fine too. You can keep going. At a certain point, it's not fine. But two cups of beer, doesn't matter. That's no good. Four cups of beer, that's no good. You don't drink two kosos. You don't drink four kosos. So how could the Chachamim institute the practice of having arba kosos? So there are three answers the Gemara gives. Amar of Nachman, the first one is Amar Kral Lel Shimurim, Lel HaMashumar Obamen HaMazikin. So the Lel HaPesach is described by the Torah as Lel Shimurim, which really the pshat means probably God was looking forward and waiting for that night to redeem us. However, Chazal understand that it's also Mishumar. It's a guarded night. It's a protected night. That's the reason why we don't say Hamapil on Lo Pesach. That's also the reason why we don't recite Birchas Mein Sheva on Friday night, not this year, but on Friday night when it's Pesach, we don't recite Birchas Mein Sheva because that was just to stall for the people who got to shul late so they'll finish, because to leave them alone in the fields would be dangerous. But Lel Shimurim, we don't require that. So that was the first teretz, that you're right, arba kosos generally is a bad idea, but for those who know what the beer mile is, aside from the fact, I don't know if any of you know what the beer mile is, I know, and Marshall probably knows what the beer mile is. I've never won one, I don't drink beer, I won't run one, but apparently you have to drink a can of beer after each one of your four laps running around the track. It's not a practice, from what I see, I would recommend, but nonetheless, that would obviously be inappropriate because of zugos. Either run three laps or run five laps, or at least only drink three or five kosos. Rav Nachman says that this is an exception. Leil Pesach is okay because it's meshumar uba min hamazikin. Rava Amar, Rava's different answer. Koshel bracha mitzdarif latova ve'inu mitzdarif l'ra. So Rava's kind of answer is along the lines, and you see this when you actually look in a number, some of the Amoraim didn't care so much about Zugos. They were Makbid, and the Gemara even suggests those who are Makbid, the Shadim are Makbid. If you're not Makbid, then the Shadim don't really care. So Rava says it goes like this. Koshel Bracha, which refers to Birchas HaMazon, the third kos, it's Mitztarif Latova, not Mitztarif Ra. So Rava says the following. If you have two kostos plus the kos of Birchas HaMazon, that's considered three. It's not a problem for Zugos. If you have four kosos, but one of them is the Birchas HaMazon kos, that doesn't count. You only have three. Because kosher bracha only counts if it works in your favor, not against you. Again, that's the kind of an answer that sounds to me as if I don't take the Zugos that seriously. Oh, kosher Birchas HaMazon, it works for good, not for bad. Okay. And finally, the last one, which in some ways maybe ignores the entire premise, but we can explain it anyway within the context of Zugos. Ravina Amar, Arba Kasei Takina Rabbanan Derecheirus. The Chachamim instituted that one should drink four cups as a Ben Chorin, as a free person might do, but Kol Chad V'Chad Mitzvah Vapei Nafshehu. Each one is an individual. It's not four, it's one and one and one and one. Which again, really sounds like an answer that's tailored to pretend that Zugos aren't really a problem. If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, I didn't check this, but I think in the Gemara in Shabbos that talks about how you're supposed to put on your shoes and tie them in the morning. So the Gemara says in Shabbos, I think it's in the sixth parak, the Gemara says you put on your right shoe, then you put on your left shoe, then you tie your left shoe, then you tie your right shoe. The Rambam doesn't quote this din at all. It's not a surprise the Rambam doesn't quote this din. And I believe I know the Gemara there quotes one Amora who just didn't care. He didn't pay any attention to it. I think it was Ravina. So it might be sort of Lishitasa. Ravina was not so concerned about these things. However, Ravina's statement actually contains within it something very, very important that the Gemara will repeat later. I this is a question I always, walking to Shul on Lo Pesach when my children were younger, and I always quiz them on this one thing, that there are four kosos at night, and each kos has a mitzvah. And what's the mitzvah for each kos? So the mitzvah for the first kos is Kiddush, and the mitzvah for the second kos is Magid, and the mitzvah for the third kos is Birchas HaMazon, and the mitzvah for the fourth kos is Challah. So Rabina says basically there are, he says each one is a mitzvah for Ne'atzmo, and the Gemara is going to say later that each one is actually tied to a mitzvah, but it's not really four kosos, it's not an even number of kosos, it's really four individual kosos, it's four ones, and one is considered odd. Okay, so by every source that we know, one other very interesting Gemara also that talks about the kosos in terms of four, there's really one sugya that deals with it. And one of the things the Gemara says is that you have to do haseba. You have to do haseba by the kosos, except for you only have to do haseba by two kosos. I know that may come as a surprise to some of you because everybody knows you lean by the arba kosos. The Gemara says you only need to lean by two kosos, but here's the problem. There are two brises. One taught that you have to lean by the first two kosos, but not by the latter two kosos. And one brisa taught that you have to lean only by the last two kosos, not by the first two kosos. And therefore, the Gemara says, therefore, you should lean by all four, which prompts its own question. Why is that necessary? I'm not going to talk about that now. The Ran has a brief discussion, a couple of very important points there. But the bottom line is, it's clear throughout the entire discussion, you need four kosos. When we get to the Mishnah, on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amid Beis, the Mishnah says the following, Mazgulo Koshlishi, Mevarech Al Mizona. They pour after you've had Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. And I'm sure I've said this to this year before, but we have a particularly interesting practice, which is not common in our household. It was the experience of having grown up with various kinds of Siddurim and having figured out what wasn't necessary. Bizman Beis HaMikdash, so people would say Dumagit, and then they would have Pesach, Matzah, and Maror together. And they eat Pesach Matzah Mar, and that would be their meal. There was no Shulchan Aruch, because that was Shulchan Aruch. You ate what I would call shawarma. And then they benched. So today, people eat lots of matzah. They eat matzah mar, and then they serve a six-course meal. So in our house, the minhag is that you eat matzah. We tend to be very machmir, and what I call marbe b'shir, and we eat lots of matzah because we like matzah, and we eat lots of mara. We even add some extra charoses in. And then we have chicken soup with chicken dumplings, and then we eat the afikoman. So our basar there is I would say zecher lePesach, and that's it, because you don't eat any more than that. So mazgul lo koshlishi, and then you're on to Birchas HaMazon. It's an amazing thing. You get to sleep a little earlier. The Mishnah says, after you eat and whatever you eat, and the Mishnah doesn't talk about a suda. The Mishnah talks about only Pesach, Matzah, Maror, because that's what you ate. That was the meal. So after that, Maskulo Koshlishi, and you make Birchas HaMazon. Then the Mishnah says, Revi Gomer Alav Es HaHalel, V'Omer Alav Birchas HaShir. So the Mishnah says something very interesting. Revi Gomer Alav Es HaHalel. So the previous Mishnah had discussed how you say the first one or two paragraphs of Hallel, Mizmor Kuf Yud Gimel or Mizmor Kuf Yud Gimel and Kuf Yud Dal. That's a machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And then you say the rest of the Hallel after Birkas, after the third kos, and that's what you use the fourth kos for. And then it says Ve'omer Alav Birkas Hashir. And you recite over that kos, when you say the halal, you finish the halal, and you say the birkas hashir, the bracha of song. And the Mishnah speaks in the terms as if it's known what is birkas hashir, because we all know what birkas hashir is, right? Well, the answer is no, we don't. The Gemara has a discussion about this, and the answer is probably they did know what birkas hashir was. Coincidentally, for us, we tend, you know, we will paskin technically, that Birchas Hashir is Yehallelucha. That may sound familiar to you. It may sound familiar because we say it after Hallel whenever we recite Hallel. And everybody pretty much recites that Lil HaSeder as well. But the fact that the Gemara is going to have a discussion, what was this? And even perhaps more interesting, the Gemara in Sukkah speaks about, the Mishnah speaks about how you recite Hallel. And the Mishnah says that makom shenagu levarech mevarech, in a place where the minhag was to make a bracha, you make a bracha on halal. In a place where there was no minhag, you didn't make a bracha. And the Gemara explains, though, of course you have to make a bracha before halal. It's either likroas halal, ligmaras halal. I think Ashkenazim always say likroas halal, but I think Sfardim, there might be Sfardim who say ligmaras halal when they say full halal. I'm not sure. I don't know if there's anybody who can chime in on that. So the Gemara there, though, never talks about what the Gemara says that the minhag of whether you make a bracha on halal is talking about the bracha after halal. The same thing is true, by the way, by Megillah. Megillah, the bracha is before. The Mishnah says, well, the minhag is to make a bracha. You do, where it's not, you don't. The Gemara explains, of course, you have to make a bracha before Mikra Megillah. You have to have a berachas hamitzvah before, but it's afterwards. So our practice is we do say normally the bracha of Rav Yisrivenu after the Megillah. So the Gemara does not, however, describe what is the bracha that you say after halal. It's just assumed that some people at a minhag, they knew what it was. The Mishnah here speaks about a birkas hashir. Now, one of the very interesting questions, which I'm not going to talk about in today's shir, I've actually been doing this with my shir at YU, is why don't we make a bracha on halal? More to the point, as I think many of you know the conclusion on some level, we say Yahalalucha at the end, which you recognize as the bracha after halal. So the question is, what happened to the bracha before halal? It's very strange. We start after you finish, I forget what the last thing we say in the Haggadah before the halal, you jump right in. Halalucha halu avde Hashem. There's no bracha. Where'd the bracha go? Why is there no bracha? So it's a major machlokas of Rishonim, whether or not you're supposed to actually make a bracha. At KJ, do they say halal and shul on Leil Pesach?
No, we don't. Even though Rav Soloveitchik said that was the most important halal of the year. I'm kind of happy that for 20 years I've been in Israel, and we always say halal there, because that's just the minhag all over. I think in America it varies.
So in America, so in Eretz Yisrael now, I believe it's universal. They say halal.
Yeah.
Before that, it's really a machlokas Ashkenazim and Sfardim, and real Ashkenazim. I'm almost certain the Yekkes do not say halal. I think the Rabbah says you don't say halal. Sfardim say halal. It happens to be, I don't know why, the shul I grew up in, which was not, wasn't the Talmud of the Rav who was the rabbi, the shul says halal. The shul I daven in, not as surprising, Rina Yisrael, which has been Rabbi Adler's shul for 40 years, of course we say halal. And our driveway menu will say halal. One of the things that, so if you say halal in shul, both Maseches Sofrim and the Yerushalmi point out that if you said it in shul, there would be no reason to make a bracha during the Haggadah. However, some Rishonim from that, the Ramban the Ramban and the Ran say that, yeah, you absolutely do say a bracha at the Seder before you say Hallel. But the Gaonim were vehemently opposed to it. And the practice is not to do so. They claim that the meal is a hefsek and therefore you can't make the bracha before. Now you do have to explain then that the Birkas Hashir afterwards, Yehalalucha, is not really a bracha on a halal. It's on something else. It's something different about it. And since you mentioned that, Rabbi Lichtstein, about what the Rav said, I never heard exactly the context the Rav uttered it, but I have said for many years, and I finally found the limud zchus on myself on most of Klal Yisrael, that if we say halal on Rosh Chodesh, and we daven up halal, which is what happens in most shuls, right? We're all rushing to get the work. Like, what's the point? You know, it's already controversial to say a bracha on halal on Rosh Chodesh. Right? The Ashkenazim don't do it. And for Ashkenazim, so it's a Chachmei Ashkenaz hell that you do, but it's problematic. Why should you make a bracha on this? So I always felt like if you're daven it up, what's the point? And I still feel if you're going to rush through halal on Yom HaTzmaut, you probably shouldn't say a bracha. But I
feel we sing all of Hallel on Yom HaTzmaut.
So then I have no tainus of saying bracha. But if you're going to daven it up, what's the point? If it's supposed to be you're going out on a limb to sing Shiru Shevach to God, and then you just daven up that you're reading quickly Mizmari Tehillim, what's the point? But I found the limud zchus not for Yom HaTzmaut, but for Rosh Chodesh and the rest of the days of Pesach, and in general when certain minyanim, early minyanim, tend to go quickly through Hallel. Because the Gaonim say the following. The Gaonim say the reason why we recite the Birchas Hashir afterwards, even though it looks like it's a Birchas HaMitzvah after, or Bracha at the end of Hallel, it's not a regular Bracha on Hallel. Hallel is normally a mitzvah of Kriya. You read the Hallel, you read the Hallel, you read it, you're done. Fine, however you read it. But the Hallel on Pesach night is not Kriya. It's Bitoras Shira. That's the language that the Gaonim use. In fact, I said this to my students, and one of my students found one of the, I think Rishonim actually makes the same comment, that even if you don't sing generally for the Hallel, Leil Pesach, you absolutely must sing. It must be sung. That's what Hallel is about. But because the Gaonim say that the Hallel of Leil Pesach is not Bitoras Kriya, but it's Bitoras Shira, that's why you say a Birkas Hashir afterwards. It's not a Birkas HaMitzvah. And that may be why there's no bracha before. The bracha before is on the mitzvah of Likroas Hallel, Ligmaras Hallel. That's not what we're doing. We're singing Shira. For that, you might not have a Birkas HaMitzvah. So the truth is, anyway, for those of us who say Hallel and Shul, it's not a question. That's what Maseches Sofrim and the Yerushalmi say. You wouldn't make a bracha because you already said it in Shul. But even if you don't, the minhag is not to make a bracha before. We'll talk a little later about how many brachas do you make after Hallel. That's interesting in its own right. However, I'm still keeping you in suspense over the fifth coast, so we're getting there. So the Gemara says, so we can skip the rest of the Mishnah for now, at least. So the Gemara asks, Amar le Rav Chanan le Rava, Shmamina birchas amazan tunakos, can you conclude from this Mishnah that there's an obligation when you bench, and it could be when you bench alone, it could be when you bench with a zimun, that you have to have a kos shel bracha. Now, many of us do not have a kos shel bracha, even when we have a zimun. And most people I know, when you have 10 people, they try to get a kos shel bracha. But the question is a kos for birchas hamazon, technically speaking, obligatory? So Rav Chanan said to Rabbah, can you infer from this Mishnah that the kos on birchas hamazon is obligatory? Because maskulo kos shlishi mevarech al mezona. So Amar Lo, he said to him, no, Arba Kosei Tiknu Rabbanon Derech Eiris. The Chachamim instituted four kosos. Kol Chad V'chad Ne'avid B'mitzvah. So that's really almost the same language as Ravina earlier. Each one of the four kosos has its own mitzvah. So once we're looking for a mitzvah to attach to the kos, Birchas HaMazon is a natural fit. Now the Gemara says, Revi Gomer Alav Esahalo. The Omer Alav Birchas HaShir. That's the quote from the Mishnah. So my Birkas Hashir, what is the Birkas Hashir? So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yahalalucha Hashem Elokeinu. So that's the last paragraph that we recite. After we finish Hallel, we say the bracha before Hallel, Asher Kitshi Sanu Mitzvah Savat Zivanu. We say the six Mizmarim of Tehillim, and then we say Yahalalucha afterwards. That's what we do for a regular thing. Rabbi Yehuda, the student of Rav and Shmuel later, Rabbi Yehuda says that the Birkas Hashir is Yahalalucha. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Nishmas Kolchai. Nishmas. Now, Professor Daniel Goldschmidt in his Haggadah points out that in all probability, the bracha of Nishmas was once much shorter. He suspects it's like the first few sentences, which is very similar to Yahalalucha. It's kind of hard to imagine that, you know, Yahalalucha is 3-4 sentences. You know, Nishmas is like 20 sentences or 25 sentences. It's kind of hard to imagine that they have two totally different things that are two different planets in mind. So probably Rabbi Yochanan is referring to a much shorter version of Nishmas. Okay, so that's the question of what is the Birkas Hashir. Now we'll talk a little bit later what is our practice regarding Birkas Hashir. But for the moment, we now turn to the next line. Now there are two lines printed here. I'm going to take the opportunity to do a little show and tell here. I want to share with you my screen, the manuscripts of the Gemara. Let's start with the following. This is the hardest one to read, but this is the Munich 95 manuscript. The Munich 95 manuscript is the only complete manuscript of Shas. It's probably written in the 13th or 14th century. It's not a very good manuscript. So people always talk about the Munich 95 manuscript. It's special because it's complete. The scribe was not a very good scribe. And it's also probably the hardest of these to read because the script that it's written in. But I'm going to point to you, if you see the little hand I have here, and it's not easy. If you're not familiar with his font, with this handwriting, it may look like Chinese to you. But Tana Rabbanon, Omer Alav Hallel, the Omer Hallel Hagadol, Divrei Rabbi Tarfon. You say Hallel, meaning what we call Hallel HaMitzri. That's our Hallel. You say Halal HaGadol, which the Gemara is about to discuss. What is Halal HaGadol? Our Halal HaGadol is Psalm 136, the 26 Hodus. And that's the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. The Yesh Omrim, and again, it's very hard to read this, Hashem Ro'i Lo Echsar. You recite Psalm 23, Mizmar L'David Hashem Ro'i Lo Echsar. This is what the Munich 95 manuscript says about Halal and Halal HaGadol, that you say it on the Kosher V. This is what's printed, by the way, in the Vilna Shas. You open your Art School Gemara, you open your Oz V'Hadar Gemara, you open any standard Vilna Shas, and you will see that the Braisa has Rabbi Tarfon telling us that we recite Halal, Halal HaGadol on the Kosher V, and some say Psalm 23. Now, the only difference then really between Rabbi Tarfon and the Mishnah is the Mishnah only speaks about Halal. Revi Gomer Lavas Halal, that's it. Whereas Rabbi Tarfon is adding in Halal HaGadol. Okay. Now, that is the version found in Munich 95. However, there are a number of other manuscripts, and I'm going to pull one up here. No, this is the wrong one. Sorry, that's Munich 95 still. Let me find the right one. Here we go. Okay, so this manuscript, I don't remember which one.
Munich 95. You mean it was written in 1895? What is?
No. Munich is not where it was written, and 95 is not the date. Munich is the library in which the manuscript was eventually named.
And
95 is just the numbering of their manuscripts. It is a 14th century manuscript, Ashkenazi. That's all I can say about it.
I see.
The Gemara here, this is, I think, one of the Vatican manuscripts, says the following. You have my Birkas Hashir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yehalalucha, Rabbi Yochanan Omer Nishmas Kochai. Tanu Rabbanon, Chamishi. Now here the scribe, I think, made sometime a mistake, so he erased, or somebody erased it. Chamishi Omer Alav Halal HaGadol, Divrei Rabbi Tarfon, V'yesh Omrim Hashem Ro'i Lo Echsar. This is impossible to read. So here, this one, it's going to be hard. So yeah, I'm not going to show you the other two manuscripts. So basically, the manuscripts tradition is split on this issue. Goldschmidt claims, actually, that Rashi changed the text from Kos Chamishi to Kos Revi, and the manuscripts that we have that have Kos Revi are a reflection of Rashi's tradition, which was adopted by his students and so on. I'm not going to opine on that particular issue, whether there's real evidence to that, whether all the manuscripts one read Kos Chamishi, but the Gaonic tradition certainly has a Kos Chamishi. So if you look firstly, for just one simple example, in source number 4, the Rashbam says, Hachi Garsinan, Tana Rabbanon, Revi Gomer Lava Sahala V'Omer Lava Hala Gadol. And one of the rules that we know is that when Rashi or Rashbam say, Hachi Garsinan, it means that they changed the text. Or whenever Rashi says Hachi Garsinan, it means that he had a text in front of him, he thought it was an error, and he corrected the text. In Rabbeinu Tam, his grandson Rabbeinu Tam, who was considerably younger than Rabbeinu Tam's brother, older brother Rashbam, who was also a grandson, they were. So in Rabbeinu Tam's introduction to the Sefer HaYashar, Rabbeinu Tam speaks about a cherem against people who change the Svarim. And he says that as much as my grandfather Rashi changed the Svarim, my brother Rashbam did 10 times as much. Rabbeinu Tam was vehemently opposed to changing the text. But we know whatever Rashi says, Hachi Garsinan, it means he had a different text and he's in effect correcting it. It may be sometimes he had two texts and he's telling you which is the correct one. But if you see Hachi Garsinan, you know that there at least exists another text. So Rashbam here says Hachi Garsinan Tana Rabbanan doesn't tell you, but what's being amended is the Kos Chamishi is being edited into oblivion. Now, as I said, the Gaonim certainly had a tradition. Some of them had a tradition of a Kos Chamishi. So now I want to take a look at the Rif. The Rif, source number 5. has the following. First, he quotes the Yushalmi, and later I have to remember to explain why this is significant. The Yerushalmi says, why are you not allowed to drink between the kosos? I skipped that part of the Mishnah. Go back for one moment to source three. At the end of the first line, Bein hakosos halalu and rotzad lishtos yishta ben shlishi revila yishta. You're not allowed to, you're allowed to drink between the first two kosos. You know, if you're a wine drinker and you enjoy it, you want to have a little extra between the first two kosos, that's fine. And you want to drink during the meal, that's fine. But you're not allowed to drink between the third and fourth kosos. So the Yerushalmi, the Rif quotes, Lama, and back to source five, why not? Bishil shelo yishtaker. So that you shouldn't get drunk. And then it means you won't be able to finish the halal. So the Yerushalmi says, Kvar meshukarhu. He's already drunk three kosos. And perhaps during the meal as well. So the Yerushalmi says, Ma ben yayin shebetoch hamazon liyayin shalach hamazon. Yayin shalach hamazon mishaker, yayin shebetoch hamazon lo mishaker. Which is true to some extent. If you have food in your stomach and you're drinking, so it slows the absorption of the alcohol, which prevents you from becoming as inebriated as quickly. But between the third and fourth kosas, where already your meal has gone somewhat down, and all you're doing is drinking, so the Mishnah, they're afraid that you're going to get drunk and not be able to finish things. Now, if that is the concern of drinking after the third kos, what would the din be after you finish the Seder? Seder's over. I'm done. I said Chasal Seder Pesach. Maybe I said Echad Miyodea. I said Chad Gadya. Very nice. I cleared the table, and now I want to sit down to drink a little bit. So if the Yerushalmi's reasoning is correct in principle, then it should be perfectly fine to drink. There should be no concerns at all with drinking. Now, you know, we don't eat afterwards because of the Ein Maftir and Achar Pesach HaFikomen, but drinking would not be a problem. Now, there are two potential problems.
We actually do drink after the Afikomen. We drink two kosos after the Afikomen.
Only the kosos of mitzvah, but that's it.
Right.
That's it. But the question is, are you allowed to drink beyond that? Now,
like Diet Coke.
Well, I'm going to talk wine.
Wine.
Diet Coke, it may be a machlokas in Shulchan Aruch. Not literally Diet Coke, but drinks of that ilk. But let's talk about wine for the moment. Water is mutter to drink. That's the one thing that's clear. It's permissible to drink water. So, but based upon the Yerushalmi's reason, it would be logical that you should be able to drink wine once you finish the Seder, because what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to fall asleep? So here, there are two considerations that I want to mention, which are potentially relevant. The first is that I think the Ran quotes this, that one should not drink later because one is supposed to stay up all night learning Hilchos Pesach and doing Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is not a common practice. There are a lot of people in our community, I'm not one of them, who stay up Shavuos night. We stay up all of Shavuos night. I don't personally find it to be a productive activity for me. When I'm a scholar in residence, they usually give me like the first or second slot. Once when I was on the West Coast, I was already jet lagged, and because I get up very early anyway, I took the last slot. I got up early because that wasn't, you know, so early for me. And so people have this minhag, and it's very nice, and lots of the kids stay up, and most of it's good. Sometimes it's not so good. But the truth is, there's no particularly compelling reason to stay up Shavuos night. But there is a reason. I don't know too many people do it. There is a reason to stay up Pesach night. If there's one night that one should stay up, and you see this in the two stories, the one we recite in Haggadah, which is Maaseh Rabbi Akiva and so on. It's all the people who were Mesubim B'nei Brak, Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Tarfon, Lezer Ben Azariah. That's one version. They were being Mesafer B'Tzias Mitzrayim. They were the Hasidim. And in the Tosefta, it was Rabbi Gamliel and the Zakenim. And they were the Litvaks, and they were learning Hilchos Pesach all night. That's what they were doing. That's Rabban Gamliel, by the way, of Kol Shalom Omar, Pesach Matzah Maro, Leyatzeh Dechavaso. He was the Litvak. Right? So is it stories? Is it halachos? So you do one or the other. But really, you're supposed to stay up. So I think the Ran maybe says, you're not allowed to drink afterwards because it's going to make you fall asleep. And you're supposed to stay up all night learning. The second consideration, which seems not to be an issue for the Yerushalmi, is there an issue of eating or drinking anything aside from the minimum mitzvah of the two kosos that you have to drink after the afikoman, something to do with the taste of matzah, whatever the consideration of Ein Maftir Achar Pesach afikoman would be. So some of Chachmei Ashkenaz, for that reason, also erase the kos hamishi, because how can you drink after? The arba kosos is a mitzvah. That's part of the din. But beyond the arba kosos, you're not allowed to drink. So of course you can't have a kos hamishi. But the Rif now says, and he has the other girsa, Ravi Gomer Lava Sahalo. Rabbi Omer la Birkas Ashir. My Birkas Ashir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yahalalucha. Rabbi Yochanan my Nishmas Kochai. Tanu Rabbanan Chamishi Omer Alav Halal Hagadol. And this is the key point. The fourth kos is for Halal Hamitzri, for Stam Halal. That's what you do with the fourth kos. You want a fifth kos? You have to say Halal Hagadol. You don't get just to drink. It's not you get to, you know, order a nightcap on top of things for free. There's a cost to it. You want to drink the fifth kos? You do Halal Hagadol. We don't just drink. Drinking should be in the context of a mitzvah, certainly this night. Okay. Where does Halal Hagadol start? Everybody knows that Mizmar Kuflam and Vav, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Kilim Chasto, and finishing with Nosein Lecha Mechol Basar Kilim Chasto, the 26 Hodus, everybody knows that's part of Halal Hagadol. The question is, where does Halal Hagadol begin? So there are three opinions. Rav Yehuda, Mehodu V'ad Al Naros Bavel. Al Naros Bavel is Psalm 137. It's literally the next thing after Nosein Lecha Mechol Basar Kilim Chasto is Al Naros Bavel, etc. So Rabbi Huda says, it just Mizmor Kuflam Edvav. That's all, from Hodu until Nosein Lechem L'chol Basar, the end. And that's how we paskin. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no. Mishir HaMalos Ad Al Naros Bavels. Rashbam explains, Shir HaMalos, the last of the 15 Shir HaMalos is one Psalm 135. And so we start at the beginning, you start at the beginning of 135. When we say Psukei de Zimra, we do that. In other words, we say Psalm 135 and 136. Psalm 135 is the Mizmar that begins with Halu, Halu Hashem Hashem Halu Da Hashem, Shom Din Ves Hashem Achatzros Beis Elokeinu. That is the Halel, that's where what we do in Psukei de Zimra, not what we do Lel HaSeder, but that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. And finally, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Amar Min, Ki Yaakov Bachar Lo Ka, that is actually the fourth verse of Psalm 135. Tosis points out, based upon this and an earlier Gemara, that it would seem that some of the Amoraim did not begin Psalm 135 where we do. It would seem that they started it with the third verse, which begins with Halleluka, not with the first verse. And the first two verses are actually the ending of Psalm 134. But be that as it may, we follow the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Okay, the riff says, "Umin haga the alma ka Rav Yehuda b'tarvayo b'birkas hashir v'hal hagadol." Okay, so according to the riff, the birkas hashir is yehalalucha, and halal hagadol is just mizmar kuf lamed vav. The practice in many hagados, which is really the nusach svarad, the svaradic practice, is that after you complete halal hamitzri, and you say, you immediately begin Halal Hagadol. You go Hodu Lashem Kito Chasto, and you go through all 26. When you're done with that, by right, you shouldn't even have to say Nishmas, but they do say Nishmas. They finish till the end of Yeshtaba without the Bracha, and then they say Yahalalucha, and they finish Baruch Ata Hashem Melech Mehulo Bat Tishbachos, the way we complete Halal. That is the Sephardic practice. The Ashkenazic practice actually is not that way. The standard today, that once the Ashkenazic practice was a bit more interesting. Today, the standard practice of Ashkenazim is that after you finish then you say Yahalalucha, but you don't make the bracha at the end, bracha at Hashem. Then you go to the Halal Hagadol. Then you do the Birkas Hashir of Nishmas all the way to the end of Yishtabach. And you complete it with Habocher B'Shirei Zimra Melech Kilchei Olamim.
And the bracha at the end, no? Bracha Tad Hashem Melech Mehul Alba Tishbachos.
No. Habocher B'Shirei Zimra is the bracha at the end. So I'll talk about that a little bit. Because you've already said Yahalalucha earlier without the bracha. But we'll talk about that. So I haven't been able, by the way, to find that Haggadah printed that way with both brachas. The Haggadahs that I have, I didn't look at everyone, but they either have one bracha or they have the other bracha, not both. I recall growing up, maybe it was the Maxwell House Haggadah that maybe prints both brachas. I don't know. I don't have a Maxwell House Haggadah. But the story behind that is not for us to tell, but why Maxwell House sponsored a Haggadah is interesting in its own right. But for our purposes, those are the two sort of standard practices. Now, the question is what to do with this Kos Chamishi. And there are three options in the Rishonim here. Option number one, which we've already seen, is that the position of Rashi and the Rashbam is to deny its existence. It doesn't exist. So we don't have to talk about a Kos Chamishi, because there is no Kos Chamishi, because the Gemara doesn't mention Kos Chamishi, because the Mishnah speaks about V'lo yifchasu lo me'arba kosos, and they were concerned about four kosos for zukos. And we talk about leaning by all four kosos because we don't know which pair we're supposed to lean by. All over the place. The Mishnah speaks about Kos Ravi, Gomer, Asal, Sahalo, and then it's on to In Machtina, Chapesach, Afikoman. Who's talking about Kos Chamishi? It doesn't exist. That's approach number one. Approach number two was that of the Baal Hamor. The Baal Hamor knows that the Kos Chamishi exists. He knows what he thinks the correct text of the Gemara is, that which the Gaonim have, that which the Rif has, that which the Rambam has. And the Baal Hamor says, that's very nice. Rabbi Tarfon disagrees with the Mishnah. Rabbi Tarfon believes there's an obligation of five kosos, not four kosos. And guess what? We don't paskin like Rabbi Tarfon. No surprise there. And therefore, we only have four kosos. That's what the Baal Hamor says. The Ran, however, was not happy about the Baal Hamor. Before we read the Ran, if I gave you the Rambam, I want to take a look at very quickly. Let's take a look at the Rambam, source 7. It's on the second page. The Rambam writes, "Achar kach no tol yadav umavarich birkas hamazon al kos shlishi v'shoseihu." That's what you would expect. You make birkas hamazon, third kos. The achar kach mose kos revi v'gomer alav asahalem. The omer ala birkas hashir. The he, what is the birkas hashir? Yahalucha Hashem kol masecha. Fine. Umavarich bari pri hagafen. You make a bari pri hagafen. V'eino toim achar kach klum kol halayla chutz min hamayim. Rambam says you can't drink after the arba kosos, after afikoman, except for water. It's all you can drink. But then he says, and now notice, by this, no halal agadah for the Rambam, right? That would be very short at the end, right? You say your halal, you sing your halal, and then you say halucha baruch atah Hashem melech melo batish brachos, done. Drink kos revi. Good night. No halal agadah. No nishmas. Then the Rambam says, "V'yesh lo limzo kos chamishi, v'lomar alav halal hagadol v'humei hodu l'Hashem kitov ad al naros babel." If you want, well, he's going to say a second. It's clear if you want, you can pour a fifth kos and say halal hagadol up at al naros babel. He doesn't even mention nishmas or anything. There's no bracha. V'chol ze eino chova kemo arba kosos. It's not obligatory like the four kosos. I'll leave out the last line. You can finish halal wherever you want, not necessarily where you wait. So the Rambam says the Kos Chamishi is optional. And this would appear to be the opinion of the Gaonim and the Rif, that the fifth Kos of Rabbi Tarfon, he's not arguing on the Mishnah. Rabbi Tarfon is just saying, if you want to drink afterwards, and the Rambam frames it as you're not allowed to drink after the Arba Kosos, except for water, if you really want to drink a fifth Kos, it comes with a price. The price is you have to say another halal. You say halal hagadol. The Ran writes, if we turn back to source number 6, Kosav Harav Zrachia Halevi Zal, that's the Baal Hamor. The Rabbi Tarfon Amas Nisan Polig. Rabbi Tarfon is arguing on the Mishnah. The fifth kos is not optional. Rabbi Tarfon says the fifth kos is mandatory. He disagrees with the Mishnah. The Tanan Vol Yifcha Salome Arba Koso Shoyayin. The Rabbi Tarfon Svi Relay, the Chamishan and who? He believes that you have to make five. And you use it, and it's mitzvah halal hagadol. Ulefize lo kaimelan kerabi tarfon. And that's why we don't paskel, and we don't paskel kerabi tarfon, and therefore you don't do fifth kos, period. And it might be usher to do because you're not allowed to drink after the mandatory four kosos.
Rabbi?
Yes.
What's the basis of Rabbi Tarfon making two brachas on halal, halal hakatan, so to speak, and halal hagadol?
So Rabbi Tarfon doesn't say anything about a bracha.
But he said no bracha, but five kosas. But halal is broken down into two kosas?
Well, no. Halal hamitzri gets one kos. Yeah. Halal hagadol is a separate halal, gets a second kos.
And what's his basis? Where does that... What?
Well, the Rashbam, I think, not the Rashbam, I forget who comes, the Ravid. The Ravid says that it follows the Medrash, which is Vehevesi. Vehevesi is the fifth lashon of Geula. Vehevesi is Chamalor. It's the Ravid in his Hasagos and the Baal Hamor here. I didn't, for interest of having too much to go through this morning, I cut out the Ravid, but you can look in the back on the Rif. The Ravid mentions Vehevesi, that's the fifth lashon of Geula.
But the Rambam has only four cups.
Who, Rambam?
Yeah.
He says four is mandatory. Again, the Rashbam denies there exists a fifth kos. The Baal HaMor says that the fifth kos exists only according to Rabbi Tarfon and is mandatory, and we don't paskin that way, so you can't do a fifth kos. And the Rambam and the Rif and the Gaonim seem to hold that the fifth kos is optional. Rabbi Tarfon's not arguing on the Mishnah. He's saying, and if you want to make a drink a fifth kos, you say you have to. It does. You can't do it for free. There's no. It's not the. You know. It's not a. It's not a buy one get one free on the fourth and fifth kosos. The fifth kos is going to cost you. You have to say halo. For that, you say halo hagadol. But according to the Rambam, if you're not going to drink a fifth kos, you don't need to say halo hagadol at all. Now, as you know, that's not our practice. Our practice is to say both halo hamitzri and halo hagadol with the fourth kos
together.
Oh, so now the Ran writes Velona Hira. He thinks the Baal HaMor is wrong. The e baraisa peliga amasnisa. If the Mishnah, if the baraisa of Rabbi Tarfon is arguing on the Mishnah, havale le Mishnei begemara. The Gemara should have said money masnisa. Who was the town of our Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Tarfon velo Yishama. Right. There were two opinions in the Mishnah. What you would say in the baraisa, what you say on the Kos Chamishi, either Halo Hagadol or Psalm 23. Hashem roi lo echsar. So the fact that the Gemara doesn't present it as you know, who is the town of our Mishnah? Because in the Braisa, there are only two Tanoim, Rabbi Tarfon and the Yeshomim, and neither says four Kosos. From the fact that the Gemara doesn't challenge it that way, which it often does, the Hachi Orcha de Talmuda, it shows you that Rabbi Tarfon is not arguing the Mishnah. V'o, din Isa, the Hachi hu, hechi efshar de lo ishtame tchad tan lamas misni, v'lo yifchasol mikoso arba koso shoyayin, Rabbi Tarfon or mechamisha. How is it possible? There's no Braisa anywhere that says that the like the Mishnah said, Gabayim have to make sure the ani gets four kosos, no matter how poor he is. And then Dibre Chacham of Rabbi Tarfon Omer, five kosos. Okay, that's not, you know, the argument from silence is not such a powerful argument, but that's what it should have said. The ode, the Mishak, the Shakli, the Torah, Amarai, with Rabbi Tarfon, Alma Hilchasa Kavase. From the fact that Rabbi Tarfon, the Amarayim are debating what's Halo Hagadol, which is only an issue for Rabbi Tarfon, because according to you, Baal HaMor, according to you, you don't say Halal HaGadol at all. There is no Kos Hamishi. There's no Halal HaGadol except for according to Rabbi Tarfon. If we don't pass like Rabbi Tarfon, why are the Amoraim all debating? Okay, well, Halal HaGadol, he says this, he says that. When the Amoraim discuss at length the Tana Shita, the Rishonim often assume it means that we pass like the Tana, because otherwise, why do they get so bogged down in his Shita? We don't pass like him anyway. So therefore, the Ran goes on to say that no, Kos Chamishi is Rishus. It's optional. If Rabbi Tarfon's not arguing the Mishnah, everybody agrees. Four Kosos mandatory. If you want to drink a fifth Kos, it comes with the price. You have to say Halal HaGadol. Okay. Now, here's what the comment Rabbi Luchstein made about there being two brachos is where things get interesting. And I think we can explain the origin. Rishonim, the ready Rishonim was saying, I think Rashbam somewhere, I think on Daf Kuf Yud Ches, says that you make two brachos, but it doesn't actually make any sense because the Birkas Ashir was presumably one bracha. And so if you're doing one mitzvah, Halel HaMitzri, and then Halel HaGadol, then why are you making two brachos? In fact, when I look at you, you'll correct me, but if my I don't have this Haggadah. My recollection is you don't say right after the Halel HaMitzri, you don't say Keli Atav Adekah Aramecha Odoshem Kosto, Yehalelucha, and then Baruch Atah Shemech Mo'abetesh Brachos.
No.
You do the brachos back to back at the end, right?
Right. At the end of Yishtabach.
At the end of Yishtabach, you make Babochar B'shiri Simra, and then you say a halucha and make the bracha Melech Mo'abetesh Brachos.
No. At the end of Yishtabach is the end of Nishmas.
Yeah.
And at the end of Yishtabach, you say Habochar B'shiri Simra Melech Keil Cheho Lamim. But there's a Baruch Ato Hashem there.
No, agreed. So I thought you were telling me that. So then you're not. Then it's not a third tradition. You were telling me that you somewhere also make the bracha Baruch Ata Hashem, Melech Mo'abet Hashpachos.
No, most Haggadahs don't have it at the end of Halel Mitzri. At the end of the Gemira Sahal.
Correct. I saw some Haggadah at some point. I don't have this. That had both brachos in there.
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact sequence. Yes.
Sometimes
we only make one bracha. And started make Melech Mo'abet Hashpachos after Yahalalucha, which they do at the end after Yishtabach, but they don't do the bracha at the end of Yishtabach. And Ashkenazim say Yahalalucha earlier, and we make a regular Yishtabach with the bracha there. However, there was a time when they made both brachos. I'm not sure the exact sequence, but I want to explain where, and then sometime in the late medieval period, that practice sort of got stomped out. So the tour here quotes a very, very interesting tshuva of Rav Haigon, which might explain where the practice of making two brachos came from. Kos Chamishi, this is the last source. Kos Chamishi, lo huzkar legirsas Rashbam, v'ein la'asoso. According to the Rashbam's girsa, there's no mention of a Kos Chamishi, and you're not supposed to do it. V'lokach piresh, she'omer halal hagadol al kos revi'i. The Rashbam says, and this is what we ultimately do, we recite both the Halal HaMitzri and the Halal HaGadol on the fourth kos, right? If you have the girs of Kos Chamishi for Rabbi Tarfon, if you don't make a Kos Chamishi, you just don't say Halal HaGadol, like the Rambam. If you have the Rashbam's girsa, so the Mishnah only mentioned regular Halal, Gomer Alavas HaHal on the Kos Revi, but Rabbi Tarfon says, you also say Halal HaGadol. And okay, maybe that's not really in conflict with the Mishnah. So that's what Rashbam said. The Chen Yerah Midivrei Rabbeinu Hai, that would appear to have been the practice of Rav Haigon. Shenisha Lefanav, the following question was asked of Rav Haigon. Rav Haigon is one of the, probably the last really prominent Gaon. He is late 11th century, early 11th century.
1038, I think he was born or... Either born or died.
Call him 11th century. Okay? Yes. He's the son of Rav Shri Ragon. Rav Sadia is like a century earlier.
Yes.
So he says, Ashkechan le Rav Sadia, she'omer, she'mi she'rotze lishtos kos chamishi, yomer alav halal hagadol. And Sadia Gon said that yaniach halalucha, you don't say yahalalucha after halal hamitzri, the way Ashkenazim do, but rather v'yomar la'acharav. In other words, if you're going to do a kos chamishi, you say halal ha-mitzri, you don't say a halalucha, presumably you drink it right then. Then you begin halal ha-gadol, you say halal ha-gadol, and when you're done, you say a halalucha, and then you drink, and a bracha, melech lo v'teshbachos, and you drink kos chamishi, which will turn out there was never a bracha for kos revi, it was only on kos chamishi. That's what Sadia Gon had said. Aval achshav ba'u talmidim v'amru she'al kol kos v'kos tzarech bracha la'acharav k'mo lefanav. These new talmidim came and said, every kos has to have a bracha, has to have its own. I'm going to explain birchas hamitzvah for now. The Beis Yosef has multiple explanations of this, but I think the simplest one is every kos has to have a birkas hamitzvah with it. Not just a bari pri hagafen, but some type of a bracha. So Kiddush was the bracha of Kiddush. Magid was the bracha of Asher Ge'olanu. Birkas hamazon is birkas, it's kos shlishi's birkas hamazon. And then both kos revi and kos chamishi have to have a bracha before bari pri hagafen. So they said that v'omer yahalalucha achara halel v'chos min melech mo'avat shpachos. When you finish the halel, hamitzri, you say yahalalucha, then you make a bracha. Then b'shose, this is a tricky line. B'shose kos chamishi, then you're eventually going to drink a fifth kos. The omer malav halal hagadol. You say halal hagadol. The chosmin b'nishmas kochai araboher b'shire. So the talmidim who came to the yeshiva, it would seem this is in Bavel, they said, no. Every kos has to have a bracha. Therefore, if you want a fifth kos, you have to say halal hagadol, and then you say nishmas, the other birkas hashir, with Abokha B'Shirei Zimra. So that's how you actually get to say both brachos. First the Halal Mitzri, followed by Yehalalucha, Barachat Hashem, Melech Mo'ov HaTeshbachos, drink the fourth kos, say Halal HaGadol, say Nishmas Yishtavach with the brach at the end. And now you have five brachos and then five kosos and all is good.
I think, I think maybe their reason is that a kos shel bracha always needs another bracha over which you're making the kos shel bracha. So you say bari pri hagafen,
I think you're right. The response that Rav Sadia would have and Rav Hai would have is that kos shel bracha is a technical term. It refers to birchas hamazon. Each kos is supposed to have a mitzvah. That's what the Gemara said, right? Al kol echarecha takinu mitzvah. Well, that doesn't mean you have to have a separate bracha. But yes, I think you're correct. That's what the Talmidim, they held. They held that each one has to have a Birchas HaMitzvah with it. And therefore, you're going to need a bracha for the fourth kos and a bracha for the fifth kos. But it is clear, by the way, that even according to everybody, if you only had the four kosos, you wouldn't make both the bracha of Melech Melabat Tishbachos and HaBocher B'Shirei Zimra, which is what happened in Ashkenaz. And my bet is that it sort of backed in from this. They killed the fifth kos, but they didn't kill the fifth bracha. So then the Heshiv.
The bracha at the end of Yahal Lucha. They said that Melech Melabat Tishbachos at the end of Yishtabach.
No.
The other way around?
They said, I assume they said, Melech, like the Talmidim here said, on Halal HaMitzri, you say Yahal Lucha, Melech Melabat Tishbachos. Then you say Halal HaGadol with Nishmas and HaBocher B'Shirei Zimra.
And you're not Messiahim at the end of Yishtabach. Melech Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech Molol Batish Bachos.
No, there are a couple of Girsos in what the Torah quotes, but the one that we just saw, and this is the obvious one, is you see they say HaBocher B'Shirei Zimra. That's what's printed here. There's another passage in the Torah, I think, when he goes over the Haggadah, like there's one simon, I think Taf Pei Vav, where he just gives Seder Haggadah. There it sounds like the Melech Molol Batish Bachos, but this makes more sense. Each one has its own. And again, HaBocher B'Shirei Zimra is the bracha for Yishtabach. Melech Molabat Tishbachos is the bracha for Yehalalucha. That makes sense. So then he just writes, V'heishiv, Rav Haigon responded, Divrei Rav Sadia Kenhu. He said, that is what Rav Sadia held. U'minok shalachem yafahu. He thinks that their practice is better, not five brachos. In other words, the people who were asking him thought you're only supposed to say four brachos. In other words, you don't say a bracha with the fourth kos. You just say Bar Pir Gafen. You say Melech Molabat Tishbachos and only with the fifth kos. So he thinks that that's correct. But Haigon says himself, Anu lo nagina because chamishi kaliker. We don't have, Rav Haigon says, we don't have a fifth kos at all. And he says, Vahani talmidei chachamim de mevarchi achar halo, the achar halo agadol, they who said, who wound up with five birchos hamitzvah, meaning both Melech Molabat Tishbachos with the fourth kos, and HaBocher B'Shirei Zimra with the fifth kos, he says, the Rav Sadia v'dilachon adifa midilachon. Your practice is better than theirs. Delo amar rabbanon beis brachos adkan. So Haigon thinks that he says we don't have a fifth kos, but if you're going to have a fifth kos, you don't get an extra bracha in there. You only make one bracha. What I believe happens, and then he goes on to quote some of the other gonim sound like you didn't. Maybe you did have five brachos. The bottom line is there certainly was a practice to have a fifth kos. You had to have a mitzvah with it, so you said halal hagadol. And then there was a question, if you had five kosos, did you make two separate brachas or not? And the mainstream opinion is no, you would not make two separate brachas. You'd only have one bracha, maybe after. From the Rambam, it sounds like it might have been after the fourth kos. From Rav Haigon, it sounds like if you'd had five kosos, it was after the fifth kos. And then there were those who somehow made two brachas. What appears to have happened is that, at least the way I see it, is that in Ashkenaz, some of the Rishonim say you say both brachas. I mean, you say Yehalalucha with Melech Molabat Tishbachos, and you say Nishmas with HaBocher B'Shirei Zimra, and even though there's only four kosos, I think it's probably this practice of the Talmidim that is cited in this letter to Rav Haigon, which sort of got compressed into the fourth kos, and eventually it got stomped out, and now we're left with two practices. For those, most of us do not have a fifth kos. I've never met anybody who does have a fifth kos. But you either, after Halal HaMitzri, immediately say Yehalalucha, then you say Halal HaGadol, and followed by Nishmas, and you finish HaBocher B'Shirei Zimra. That's Minag Ashkenazim. Or the Minag of Sfardim is, as soon as you finish Halal HaMitzri, you don't say Yehalalucha yet. You go and you say Halal HaGadol, then you say Nishmas till the end of Yishtabach, but you don't make the bracha at the end of HaBocher B'Shirei Zimra. Then you say Yehalalucha with the bracha Baruch Atah Hashem Melech Molabat Tishbachos. I believe I saw in a footnote in Goldschmidt that the Vilna Gaon's practice quoted in the Maaseh Rav is he didn't say Yehalalucha at all. He only said, he went from Halal to Halal HaGadol, no Yehalalucha, not at the beginning, not at the end. He only had one Birchas Hashir, and I presume he said HaBocher B'Shirei Zimra at the end. So anyway, but that's where it's clear from the Gemara that there's clearly machlokas where there is such a thing as kos chamishi, mandatory, and we reject it. That's the Baal HaMor's position. Non-existent, the Rashbam's position. And the in-between position is that of the Rambam and the Rif and the Gaonim, which is there is a fifth kos. It's optional. If you want to do it, you say halal hagadol with it. And then, but the question of how many brachas do you make? The mainstream opinion is you only make one bracha. Some say it's after the fifth kos, some say after halal gadol. Some say it's after the halal mitzri with the fourth kos, but only one bracha. In Shulchan Aruch, and the last two sources, source number 8, kos revi maschil lolanu v'gomer alav es ahalal v'eino omer yahalalucha. This is the Mechaber speaking. You say, they finish the Hallel till the end of Psalm 118. Then you don't say Hallelujah. Ela Omer Achar Gemara Hallel, Hallel Hagadol, Shemei Hodu Lashem, Adal Naros Bava, like Rav Yehuda, in that regard, Shehem Chafav Kilam Chastel. Then the Achar Kach Omer Nishmas Kochai, V'yishtabach Ad Me'olam Eratolam Atokel, V'az Yomar Yehallelujah Ad Melech Molam Atishpachos. So even the Mechaber, who has only four kosos, we've taken both, everybody has Hallel Mitzri and Hallel Hagadol. We've taken that from the fifth coast, but we don't have a fifth coast. And the Mechaber, what the Mechaber describes here is what Sfarim do and what Nusach Sfarim does. The Ramah to Ashkenazi practice is not that way. And only the Ramah does mention, the Mechaber writes in the next Simen Tapei Aleph, source number 9, Achar Arba Kosos Eino Rashai Lishtos Yayin Elamayim. That's a verbatim quote of the Rambam. And then the Ramah says, "V'chala mashkim dinam kiyayin." All drinks are like that of wine. But umisha who istanis otayev harbe lishtos, someone who is very delicate. I don't know why delicate means you need to drink a fifth cup of wine, or is so thirsty he needs more wine. Yachal lishtos kos chamishi v'yomer alav halagadol. So the Ramah is the only one who says that. Ironically, the Ramah is the one who paskins the sign of Ashkenaz paskins. Like the Gaonim and the Chachamim of Sfarad, that if you want to have a Kos Chamishi, so then you're allowed to do so, but you have to say Halagadol. You can add this to the list of cases where the Mechaber Paskins like the Balei HaTosfos and the Ramah Paskins like the Rambam. Okay, anyway, so that's the story of the Kos Chamishi. I have never encountered, then again, I haven't really been in any Siddurim other than my parents and my own and my in-laws, so I've never encountered someone doing a Kos Chamishi. But this is the history of the Kos Chamishi. I'm happy to take questions, but before I take questions, let me just wish everybody a Chag Kosher V'Sameach. Shir will resume, God willing, I think 3 weeks from today, in Maseches Brachos, where we left off last Sunday. Any questions?
Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach, wonderful Shir.
Chag Kosher V'Sameach, Rabbi. Wonderful Shir.
What's the difference?
Thank you.